Well, welcome. Thank you, everyone. It's so good to be back here again this Sunday. I invite all of you to join me in simply letting go. Letting go into the silence that's here, this beauty, this absolute sense of divinity. Which you are. So you're welcome to close your eyes or to keep them open. And simply notice this profound sense of aliveness, this profound sense of divinity. I invite you to notice what makes you feel alive. What is this presence that you are? And so I invite you to bring your attention to your heart. And to notice this luminous space, this luminous presence, which is right here, right now. In fact, this luminous presence is always here, quietly in the background, yet most of us miss it. And so, will you join me in fully acknowledging? Fully acknowledging this beauty, this gentleness, the tenderness of your own presence. In order to fully join me in this, you must be willing to let go of your mind. To let go of the story that's floating in your consciousness. To let go of the busyness. And simply soften into the presence. Which you are. So if you notice, the thinking mind is often harsh, judgmental, scheming and conniving, grasping, attaching to. But I'm inviting you to drop out of that, to simply fall backwards into the quiet space of love. This love, which is the very fabric of your true nature. And so, as we do this, I invite you to allow your heart to open further, to encompass the space of your chest. The space of your throat, the space of your mind, the space of your belly and your pelvis and your legs. Can you find this divine radiance everywhere? Everywhere throughout your being. Can you notice your whole body coming alive? Can you notice that this energetic aliveness is in the balls of your feet, your ankles, your calves, your shins, your knees, your thighs, your pelvic floor, the pelvic bowl, the sacrum, the lower belly, that everything is in fact quietly, subtly radiating with light. Can you join me in this recognition of what you truly are? Can you notice this sense of aliveness as a stream of energy going up the spine from the pelvis, through the Hara chakra, the lower belly, through the solar plexus, through the space of the heart, through the space of the throat, into the third eye, and out the top of the head. Can you join me from this place of openness? And being receptive to God's grace, God being that which is greater. The very energy and light of this universe, which of course we are one with. But can you join me in opening to the hugeness of that descent? To being receptive to receiving God's grace, receiving the hugeness the immensity of life. Can you join me in receiving this very direct and immense peace? And so your job is simply to open, to receive, to experience. Now is a time not to be bothered with thoughts, but rather to connect fully with the hugeness of what you are. So can you put everything down and simply open and fully commit yourself to this moment? Fully commit yourself. To what's here. To what you are. And so again, if you're just joining us, we're opening into, falling into the love and the grace of our own hearts. We're allowing this heart to expand, to include, to radiate throughout all seven chakra centers, throughout the entirety of our being from head to toe. We are opening, experiencing, and receiving our grace, our divinity, and simultaneously this greater divinity, this greater love, this greater truth, this very truth, this very love, which made the cosmos. So can you open and receive this light, this love? Simply say yes. Can you notice the very space out of which my voice arises? Who hears this space? Who experiences this space? Who lives as this space? And so it's a beautiful thing when together we open, together we let go and simply receive. Receive this greater divinity and receive our own divinity. Will you join me in this quiet exploration of what you are? Of what you are. And so from this space, I invite you to take three more deep and full breaths, breathing in and breathing out, and simply letting go. Letting go of any struggle, any heartache, any resistance, and simultaneously stepping into the fullness of what you are. Three deep breaths. Stepping into the space of immensity. Three deep breaths. Acknowledging your absolute radiance. Your absolute aliveness and luminosity. And three deep breaths. Bowing before your greatness, your divinity, and God's divinity, one great divinity. And so from this space of openness, I invite you simply to rest here. To be fully here. To let go into this beauty. This quiet radiance. And know Know that you are God. Know that you are life itself. Know that your heart is good. That life is divine. And so, from this space of love, I'm going to transition now into the questions. And so, if anyone has a question, I invite you to bring it forward. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk about, you know, something I was reflecting upon today. I was listening to some colleagues of mine speak recently. And I realized that there are some teachers who know how to work with your humanity, and some teachers who simply teach you how to transcend your humanity. But oftentimes students, they come to a teacher, they come to the teacher with questions about their humanity. And they're simply taught how to transcend it. And for some of us, this is exactly what we need. We realize that we are overly invested, overly confused by our humanity. We're overly confused by our egoic nature. And so sometimes it's very, very helpful just to let it all go. Just to say enough's enough. To put down the fight and simply accept what is. But for most of us, we need a little bit more support. Most of us go to our teachers with questions about deeply personal things. And we need to be given more, some assistance, some guidance from someone who actually knows. Someone who actually knows how to work with the human ego beyond just transcending it. I had this teacher many years ago, and I would just study with him occasionally and do some retreats with him. And his answer was the same to all questions. Just transcend. Just go beyond. And there were times it was very powerful just to step into that transcendence. But then there was other times when it was completely inappropriate, completely unhelpful. And I noticed that there was many students who were very confused. They were trying to transcend their families, their children, their husbands. It's very impractical advice. But so as we as a student, we must be clear. What is it that I'm asking? What kind of support am I looking for? What's actually helpful? Now, so many of the spiritual teachings, they're teachings that were meant for monks and nuns. They weren't meant for human beings with families and children, wives and husbands and businesses. The teachings were meant for monks and nuns, and so we have to be careful. We must examine, what kind of teaching am I studying? You know, so often I get these questions from individuals, excuse me, and they ask me very personal questions. They said they went to this teacher, they were reading the sutras, and the sutras said this. I said, well, that's a great answer if you're If you're a monk, great answer. A great teaching if you're a monk. But maybe not so helpful. Maybe not so helpful if you have to live in this world. And we have to be careful. We have to discern as students. What am I asking? What am I wanting support with? And who am I going to for this support? Am I expecting that my spiritual teacher will help with my marriage? Well, perhaps if they're trained in marriage counseling, they can help you with that. Sometimes the teachings are very universal, and sometimes not very much so. And so it's important to be careful, to discern. What is it I'm asking? Who is it I'm asking? Who am I placing my faith in? And are they the proper person to go to for such support? And so this is our job as a student, is to really discern. And I think it's an incredible spiritual practice just to become clear. Like this week, I received many, many questions. And some of them were very long and very complicated and confusing. And it's an incredible spiritual practice for you just to get very clear. What exactly is my question? What is it that I'm actually struggling with? What is it that I'm actually looking for? For when we discern these things, oftentimes the answer presents itself. So anyways, I'm going through the emails here and let's see what questions come forward. Actually, before I jump into that, I want to send a big thank you out to Shauna. Shauna, thank you so much for your donation. It's very kind of you to support the teachings in that way. So thank you so much, and thank you all the others who submitted donations from last week. And forgive me for going on talking so long without thanking you first. So thank you. Thank you now thank you in the past, thank you in the present, and thank you in the future for supporting these teachings. And my heart is with you all. And so, yes, so my first question is from an old friend of mine, Lisa. I think she's down in Guatemala. And she writes, "My question is related to some words you dedicated to me in one Sunday satsang, asking me to make an effort to speak and make myself seen. I have little by little, with lots of patience and trying to stay neutral and humble, but I have tried to share my heart and stay in alignment with truth. Sometimes I feel as if I'm called to speak, and other times I am not." And this is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is what it's like to live on the path, to open yourself fully to truth. Become quiet inside and just listen to the truth. You've made a huge step forward. Most of us on the path, we don't do that. We don't become quiet. We're simply anxious in our mind, and we're just busy spinning in our emotional world and our mental world. And so the first thing we need to do is to become humble, like Lisa's writing about, just becoming humble, being quiet, going inward, and listening for the truth. And the truth will tell you when it wants to speak and when it wants to remain silent. But I will say this about most spiritual people, myself included. Most spiritual people, they get too stuck on being inwardly quiet and outwardly quiet. So it's important to be stuck on inwardly quiet and just stay inwardly quiet. But when you listen to your heart, you'll find there's many times when your heart is asking you to speak. And it may be difficult, it may be uncomfortable. But it's important now more than ever, now more than ever, that spiritual people speak up. That they share their truth, that they share their love in the world. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, like going up and getting a soapbox and standing on the corner and preaching the good news. I'm inviting you to preach the good news in your daily life with your friends and your family. But the good news of your heart. Share your beauty. Acknowledge Celsa's beauty. Look into their eyes and see their goodness. Even if it's someone you greatly struggle with, someone who you find difficult, someone who you are arguing with, can you stop and simply look into their eyes and see their goodness and let them know, I see you. I see your goodness. I see your divinity. I understand what you are saying. Part of listening to our own heart part of that is also listening to the hearts and minds of others. When you truly become quiet and come inward, you begin to see this wonderful beauty and radiance everywhere. And the more you open to this beauty and radiance, when you look outward, you begin to see it there as well. That's why for Christ, there were times when he said, just turn the other cheek. We are able to turn the other cheek because we can see the other's goodness. We can see their divinity. We see that their heart is good. Even if their mind is confused. So can you see, can you join me in seeing that everyone has a beautiful heart, yet also quietly acknowledging that perhaps their mind is confused, perhaps their emotions are confused, you know, if they're angry or suffering. You know, the more compassionate we can be with ourselves, the more we see that we've had anger, we've had confusion in ourselves. And so then it's easy to see this, to understand that others have it too. And so yes, just as Lisa's writing, we're becoming quiet, we're going inward, we're listening to our heart, and we're giving our heart the opportunity to speak, to share, to express itself. And for this to be fully realized, we must make sure that our throat chakra is open. For the throat chakra is the avenue of expression. And so our heart is open, we're being quiet, we're listening to our heart, and we're giving ourselves permission to speak, to share. And now more than ever, this world needs your loving presence. Your loving presence. Now more than ever, this world needs you and the fullness of what you are to come forward. And so, yes. And so Lisa goes on to write, however, though, more and more I feel like I totally accept and let myself be guided directly by the Father, Mother, God, and accept their will. This is beautiful. Though I feel I need a direct human teacher to help me see and embrace and process deeper my own shadow, and sometimes I feel quite alone on the path. Yes, I think this is very common. Now, many of you are tuning in from all corners of planet Earth, because it feels good, it feels wonderful to come together, with this Sangha, to come together in communion, to come together and ask for support. It's like at the end of each episode, each satsang, I ask for your support, to support me in this work through donations, but also, more importantly, I ask you to support me in opening your hearts. For as your heart opens, my heart opens more so. And God can flow through us all together. And yes, when we live in the far corners of the earth, it's easy to feel alone. When we don't have a teacher in our hometown, it's easy to feel lost and alone. And so it's important. It's important to have some support in this world. Throughout my path, I had a variety of teachers. I had my root teacher, who I spent a good 20 years with. And I had some other main teachers, you know, like Ajahshanti, who I spent, you know, a good 10 years studying his teachings and chasing him around the country. Listening to him online, but chasing him around the country on retreats. And I had a guru I visited with, Amachi, who I've seen almost every year for 20 years or so. She only comes to the United States once a year, though. So I visit with her once a year and bask in her presence. And then I had many, many guides and therapists and counselors and healers who I would meet with to help work with my shadow. Now, I was quite gifted in the fact that my root teacher, David, he was able to work with my shadow. He was able to work with the whole of me. But there were times when I went to other individuals, I got a different perspective. And it's funny because the other teachers I would visit with, or the other counselors or therapists or whatever they were, they always said the same thing as my teacher David. They just said it in a different way. And so if I was feeling, I don't know what the right word is, but sometimes we take our teacher for granted, so we go get support from another. And God gifted me with many great teachers, and they all said the same thing. Open your heart. Open your heart. Let go of the past. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And sometimes they would say, look there. Look where you are not looking. Look at your shadow, Craig. Look where you are not looking. And so, yes, it's very important that we have a teacher that tells us to look where we're not looking. And so part of the reason I asked you, Lisa, to speak up is because part of your shadow is being quiet, being too humble, being too timid. And this is a disease that most spiritual people have, myself included. It's this sense of just being quiet, but not speaking our truth, not being our truth, not living and embodying our truth fully. Most spiritual people want to just be quiet and live in a world where everything's nice, nice. Now, there's a whole other group of spiritual people who all they do is talk about all their realizations or gossip or talk about this teaching and that teaching. And so for those of you who are wired that way, it's important that you come back to the middle. You become more quiet and just listen. Just listen. Listen more, talk less. But for most of us who are more reserved on the path, the invitation is to come forward. To come forward, to share. Share your truth. Share your love with the world. And yes, if you feel like you're wanting some more direct support from a teacher, find one. If you resonate with me, call upon me. Schedule a meeting with me. Put yourself on my calendar. Use your teacher. Make them work for you. And I have this friend in Germany. He likes to write me a bunch of emails each day. And so he's using me. He's using his teacher. I do my best to respond, but I do get quite overwhelmed with questions. So I do my best. But first and foremost, any question you have, ask your heart. Ask your heart. And then if you have a physical teacher, you know, share with your teacher. Bounce ideas off them. If you have a good friend who's wise, share your ideas, share your heart, share your beauty with them. It's a wonderful way of stepping forward. Yes, so thank you. Okay. Here's my next question. Craig. Hi, Craig. Can one get out of the fog of confusion? I think he's referring to the fog of confusion within the mind while on medication. Yes, this is an interesting question. Does medication get in the way of becoming enlightened? Will medication stop the Kundalini energy from rising? Will medication numb my consciousness? Well, I get a lot of questions about medication. And as someone who's trained in psychology, I know that there's some individuals who need medication. And so sometimes the most compassionate thing we can do is to take medication. It helps give our mind a break. It helps it to calm down. But I say this is rare. This is rare. In our country, in the United States, I know medication is so overly prescribed. Someone goes into the doctor and says, I'm having a little bit of anxiety. And the doctor says, well, let me give you this. And right away, she writes a prescription. And I think this is quite unwise, just to hand out these blanket prescriptions. I find it much more useful to meet with a counselor, to start a meditation practice, to do some yoga, to exercise, to see if you can learn to work with the busyness of your own mind, or the fogginess of your own mind, or the confusion of your own mind. See if you can work with it. And after you've tried for long periods of time, then and only then do I recommend medication. But if you find your mind is incredibly anxious, like it's on some hyper overdrive, yes, you know, if it's wise, then take your medication. Take it and experiment with it and see if it's helpful. See if it's helpful. Most of these medications will gently dull the energy of your mind. Now, sometimes if you take a very powerful medication, it will put you in such a fog that you won't have any feeling. But this is when medication is too heavily prescribed. I recommend if you do take medication, to take the least amount possible that's necessary. Take it for a period of time, hopefully a short period of time, and then gently begin to wean yourself off of it. Wean yourself off. And in regards to the energy and the energy body, yes, medication sometimes slow the energy, numb it, but we must remember God's in charge. God's in charge. God is the ultimate truth. This energy which is awakening within you, it has its own force, its own power. Sometimes it's affected by medication, but in the end, if it wants to give birth in you, it will, with or without medication. Okay, so that's a beautiful question, one I get very often. Craig, is it true that we cannot make a mistake? I heard you say this numerous times in your teaching. Well, this is a great question. Because from a big picture, from the vast view perspective, no, we cannot make a mistake. There are no mistakes. We live in an evolutionary world. God is evolution. God made us. God made our mind. God made the possibility for mistakes. And God made whatever the mistake was. And so that's from the vast view perspective, the vast non-dual perspective. But in a human way, if there's a question about how to live, I invite you to become quiet and tune into your heart and simply allow your heart to guide you. If there is a mistake, the greatest mistake that all humans are guilty of, is they don't know their God. They don't know they are love. It's the greatest sin any of us make, is thinking we are divided and believing in division. And so how do we wake up out of this? We let go of all the thoughts, all the confusion, all the anger. We make a lot of mistakes when we're angry, when we're sad, when we're confused, when we're hurt, when we're jealous, when we're anxious. And so if we want to come into the truth, we must soothe these emotions. We must breathe into them. We must relax our body. Come to a place of peace. And then from this place of peace, whatever truth is wanting to come forward will do so. It will present itself. It will present itself. But within this question, if I just feel into the individual who wrote this question, I feel as if it came from a place of anxiety. Because the question goes on and on. Most people have this idea they can make a mistake, and then they do make mistakes, and then they beat themselves up for making mistakes, and then they judge themselves constantly throughout the day. This is not the way to live. It's not the way to live. I invite you to relax, to forgive yourself for being a human being. Who made you a human, by the way? If it was, who made the possibility of mistakes, by the way? Who made the evolutionary world, by the way? If you want to blame someone, blame God. And in the meantime, just relax, forgive yourself. Take a deep breath and just do your best. Do your best to be loving. Do your best to share your innocence and your beauty with this world. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so hard. So thank you. Okay. And so, of course, as always, I welcome any questions. So if anyone else has a question, you can please, bring it forward. And otherwise, I'll just keep going back to the questions that I have here. Okay, here's a good question about energy. That's from my friend Suzanne. She writes, I have a question about energy spilling over. While we were talking, so this was during a session, she noticed this. She and I were talking. She noticed, she writes, my energy level just kept going up and up. And when we ended our session together, it was just spilling over. I've calmed down now by breathing and sitting and just simply feeling the energy. But my question is, should I try to contain this energy? Should I try to ground it? What are your favorite exercises for grounding, or your favorite grounding methods? When you're in the company of others, when you're on the phone, when you're at work, or meeting a friend. And she goes on to write, there's a second part to this question. When it's positive energy, it's overflowing. I don't actually want to feel grounded because it's a pretty rare occurrence in this life and it feels so good. Yet it ends up draining me, and I think somehow it drains others around me as well. I'm not sure on that, but my intuition tells me that whether it's labeled good or bad, grounding is key. Yeah, so let's talk about this grounding. And so for most people who have their head in the clouds, it's important to be grounded. You know, we've all seen people like this, people on spiritual retreats, people in yoga classes, and they're just kind of like walking around like, you know, hippies in the park with their heads in the clouds. But what God is wanting right now, God is not wanting us to be containers. God is wanting us to be conduits, conduits of this grace. And so if we're on the spiritual path, we have to become comfortable with having huge amounts of energy moving through our body. Huge amounts. You must become comfortable having an open door to God, where she is flowing into you, where your heart is overflowing with love. And you must learn how to speak wisely. Share the truth of this space with others. This is a skill. It's a skill to have. I was once on a silent retreat with Adyashanti. And after 7 days in silence, it was the last day, you know, it was at lunchtime, the retreat was ending. And basically he said, okay, at lunchtime, you know, you're welcome to start speaking again. And it was like a flip got switched. And everyone just started jibber-jabbering out their mouth and all this grace and energy, you know, that had been built up on the retreat. It was just releasing in every direction. And people were saying all kinds of silly things and talking about this and that and gossiping, and they just went right back to their old self. But this is not what God wants. God wants us to be rooted in the truth. God wants us to be conduits for her grace. And so when you realize the truth, and it's time to speak, can your realization move through your throat chakra? Can you embody this truth? Can you speak mindfully, even if you feel as if you are as big as the sky? If your heart is overflowing with love, can you share this love in a deliberate way? Deliberate way. But there's been many spiritual communities where the people get together and they open in this love. And they hang out with the guru or whatever. And then they leave the meditation hall. The next thing you know, they're eye gazing and And things are turning sexual. They're turning strange and bizarre. Their heart is open, but they have an undeveloped root chakra. And so things are going in the wrong direction. What God is wanting for us is for us to stay connected with this truth, connected with this power, connected with this Shakti. In an open-hearted and loving way. That's rooted in truth, rooted in power, rooted in love, rooted in wisdom. When you try to contain the energy within you and try to hold on to it, well, that doesn't work either. Because then there's a feeling like I have it and then it's gone. But as a conduit, as an energetic being, what you're noticing, you begin to notice that this energy, it just flows through you. Sometimes it will be intense. It will be powerful. It'll be fluid. It'll be filled with bliss and love. And your job is simply to enjoy it, to be it, to own it, to know this is me. This truth is me. If you feel moved to speak, not from your emotional heart, but from your true heart, then you do. Then you do. Now, I have this funny story that my teacher, David, his teacher's name was Hilda Charlton. And she once visited with Yogananda. And the two of them went for a car ride together. And he talked to her about washing machines and carrots. Now, back in the 1900s, or you know, the mid-1900s, maybe he was visiting with him, a washing machine may have been a breakthrough technology. But she said afterwards, you know, she was kind of shocked because he was just talking to me about these very human things, you know, planting carrots, planting a garden, and a washing machine. But she said his words were fueled with love. They were fueled with grace. Because he was this conduit. He was this fluid expression of divinity. His words were filled with power. And so even when he was talking about something mundane, she was blessed by his presence. She said it was a very beautiful experience. Very beautiful experience for her. He was quite open, Yogananda, quite a gifted teacher. And after his meeting with her, he asked her, "Will you come? Will you come and be my disciple?" And even though she was flooded with his grace and his presence, she felt into her heart. And she realized that was not her place. That was not her place. And she had a wonderful relationship with him. But realized that was not her place. And so sometimes the truth will be different than what you could imagine. For any of us, if we met with Yogananda, the thought would be, "Oh yes, I immediately want to be his student. For he's a great master." But you must feel into your heart and see. See what your heart says. You must be receptive to your own truth. Your own path. You must ultimately embody your light, your wisdom, your grace. So yes, this is a beautiful question. I get so many questions about working with energy. And I've noticed after many done it, you know, been to many yoga classes, and oftentimes we do yoga, we get filled with this grace and this prana, and as soon as the class is over, many of the ladies get up, They start gossiping about this or that. Sometimes when this grace moves through our body, and if we have old habits, those old habits are flooded with that grace, and then those habits, they start repeating themselves in obnoxious ways. And so it's good. It's important for us to deeply reflect, for us to deeply reflect before we speak. And ask, am I living in alignment? The Christians, they had that old saying, what would Jesus do? How would he respond? But a great question for us is, what's true in my heart? What does my heart want to share? How does my heart want to show up in this moment? So anyways, thank you all so much for joining me. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for sharing your hearts, your love, your beauty with me. I feel so connected to you. So connected to you all. I want to again thank you all for the donations, for supporting the teachings. If any of you can make a donation to support this, you can visit my website, craigholiday.com. There's a PayPal link there. You're welcome to send a check, which many of you do, to Craig Holiday at 230 East College Drive, Durango, Colorado, 81301. And that address and all those details are on my website, so you don't have to remember it. But anyways, from the depth of my heart, I truly want to thank you. Thank you so much, Shauna, for your generous donation this last week, and all the others. For your support, for your sincerity. Thank you for the questions. But most of all, thank you for your hearts. It means so much to me to be able to join in communion with all of you each week. So this next week, I will be traveling. I will be in London. I still plan on offering the class at the same time, same place. And so, but if something changes in my schedule, as things do, and when we travel, forgive me if I do cancel at the last minute. But in this moment, I plan on being there. So let's all just plan on meeting again next Sunday evening. May peace be with you all. May all your hearts be filled with love and light. And do this world a service, and share your beauty with all of us. Good night.